WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. More stories of what Hurricane Helene did from Florida to Georgia to Tennessee in Atlanta.
We woke up to probably like 6 to 7 feet of water at 6:30 in the morning in our basement, and it started to rise and it went into our living room area.
Remnants of Helene now moving north, at least 44 storm-related deaths and millions of power outages. The Israeli Air Force dropped bombs in an area in Beirut believed to include the leader of Hezbollah militants, according to two Israeli sources. No word if he was hit. The U.S. has announced an agreement with the Iraqi government to wrap up the mission in Iraq of an American-led coalition fighting Islamic State terrorists by next year. Appearing in public in New York after the two met in private, Donald Trump and Ukrainian President Zelensky, when Zelensky said he hoped U.S. relations with Ukraine are better than those with Russia's President Putin, Mr. Trump replied, "But it takes two to tango." This is ABC News. How could a looming dock worker strike affect consumers? ABC's Sherry Preston.
The National Labor Relations Board has been called in trying to resolve the dispute between the U.S. Maritime Alliance and the International Longshoremen's Association. The ports want an immediate resumption of talks ahead of Monday's strike deadline. If the union's 45,000 dock workers from Maine to Texas do walk out, you probably won't feel it right away. Retailers have been stocking up in anticipation of a strike. If it goes on longer than a month, though, you might notice some shortages and price increases on certain imports. Items.
A U.S. district judge has ruled that Meta chief Mark Zuckerberg can be deposed in a lawsuit accusing the company of copyright infringement and developing its artificial intelligence technology. Suit was brought by a group of authors who say Meta is using their works without permission to train the AI. Meta is requested to bar Zuckerberg's deposition, saying other employees should testify. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I want to talk about tariffs. We keep hearing this economic term bandied around, and politicians who are talking up tariffs want us to think that it's a good idea to put fees on foreign goods. It's going to, like, protect American businesses and consumers. Turns out, that's not always the case. We can't tax companies that are overseas, so we end up taxing the mostly American-owned and run companies that are just bringing goods in from around the world. So if tariffs go up by 20%, history and studies show that those companies are going to pass those extra costs right on to me and you. I don't know about you. While prices are coming down, I can't afford to pay 20% more for what I'm buying. So next time you hear some politician talking about tariffs, just remember, the ones being proposed are a tax on Americans being paid by Americans. This is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A downsized Trump rally in southwest Wisconsin. The Republican nominee for president wanted to campaign outdoors Saturday at the Prairie du Chien Airport, but the rally got moved to an indoor performing arts center that seats 650. It's because several Secret Service agents were providing security at the United Nations General Assembly meetings in New York. The disgraced former chancellor of UW-La Crosse is fired again, this time from his teaching job. Jimmy Kuska has the latest on Joe Gao.
Gao was fired as chancellor in December after UW officials learned he was producing and appearing in online pornography. Earlier this year, a UW-La Crosse panel recommended removing Gao from his faculty position. The Board of Regents listened to 45 minutes of discussion before making the decision in closed session. I'm Jimmy Kuska.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers hit the road tomorrow. Hi, I'm Jimmy Kuska with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Green Bay is at Tennessee this week. In the preseason, the Packers traded with the Titans to bring in Malik Willis, who started last week's win over Indianapolis. Willis said that Tennessee knows what he can do.
I think I got paid the whole time I was there, bro. I'm more than blessed for the opportunity they've given me, and they brought me into this league, you know, whether those guys are there or not.
Head coach Matt LaFleur said he knows there's a tough task ahead for the offense regardless of who is at quarterback.
I think they got a lot of veteran players, and they're a well-built defense. I think schematically it's a challenge. Denard Wilson coming from Baltimore, and just he's He's an experienced guy in this league. And then when you couple that with really good players, you have a chance to be a really good defense.
Jordan Love is listed as questionable for tomorrow's game, which kicks off at noon. The Milwaukee Brewers lost Friday 7-4 to the Arizona Diamondbacks. The loss puts the Brewers 4 games back of the National League's best record. The same two teams play tonight in Milwaukee. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, not as cool as it's been, a low near 50. Mostly sunny and mild for tomorrow, highs right around 80. And upper 70s for highs with sunshine on Sunday and Monday. Much cooler, though, through mid-next week, only near 60 Tuesday. Right now it's 53.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we'll be back from California and be catching up on the news as well as Wisconsin events. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. It is Anything Goes Friday. We're going to bring on, this isn't news with my dad, it's just Anything Goes with my dad. Because he said, hey, should we come on tomorrow? And I knew what he meant. I knew what he meant was like, that was fun. I'd like to do it again. I know what he was talking about, and I love him dearly. And so far, you guys have been real nice to him. You guys said, you know, a couple of you called and said, actually, it was your dad I wanted to talk to. So just in case there's anybody who wanted to ask Pop a question, we'll include him a little bit. We'll keep taking your calls. Dad, are you on the air?
I am.
How you doing?
I'm doing well, I think.
No.
I was able to get erect this morning, stand up.
Just be clear. Just like means you were able to stand
like
up.
Healthy.
Dad, what are you doing to me here? You just mean you were able to stand up out of bed. Why you got to choose that? Any number of verbs you could choose. There's like 10 upright, right? You're like lift yourself, right? I was able to walk. There's any number of verbs you could have chosen.
All of those.
But less so the one you chose. Come on, man. This is a family show. How many families? I mean, it's not. To be fair, it is not the 1920s where people are huddled around the radio together as a family in front of the hearth. I get that, but still, let's imagine they are, and let's teach our children well. All right, Bob. And before we jump straight back to our callers, anything you want to cover off the top? Any news story that you're champing at the bit? And yes, champing, not chomping. You don't chomp at a bit; you champ at it. Anything you want to cover first?
I want to shout out for the D.C. federal court that confirmed the disbarment of Rudy Giuliani.
Oh, I missed that. Was that today?
Oh, yes, they did it.
When was that?
Yesterday.
Yesterday. I missed that. All right. So can I give you my Rudy Giuliani conspiracy theory?
Do.
All right. So this is Anything Goes Friday. So I'm not, this is like, I shouldn't even call it mine, although I didn't hear it from someone else. I just, you know, if I'm speculating, this is not, I'm not passing along fact. I'm not even passing along opinion. I'm passing along fancy, okay? Just insert whatever disclaimer you so choose. I'm still thrown by how you opened your segment, by the way. So is the producer. She's like, do I have to click the mute button on your own dad? I'm like, no, it's okay. I know where he's going with this. So here's my conspiracy theory. And it has an air of plausibility. So it's weird to a lot of people that Rudy Giuliani, who was Mr. Law and Order, became Mr. Trump ally and Russian confederate, and had overseas and Eastern European legal clients, and became the person that he is now.
Which is a lying scumbag.
Dad's pulling no verbal punches today. So here is my, what makes people surprised about that was that he was Mr. Law and Order. What made him Mr. Law and Order was he took down the Italian mafia, right? And I say Italian on purpose, not because I'm because, I mean, I could have actually just said mafia, because that's that distinguishes it from the Russian.
There's also a Russian mafia.
Exactly. And
there's
not always called the mafia, but that's what I mean, right? I mean, like the Gambinos, the Gambino crime family, etc. All right, and he played an instrumental role. When do we think he made friends with the Russians? Now, I don't know, but let's assume for Anything Goes Friday that he made friends with the Russians. We know that he did. And let's imagine that Russians, that there were Russian mobsters, which, by the way, are connected to the Russian apparatus. The whole thing is kind of a mob operation. And let's imagine that they liked the idea of the Italian mafia being taken down a peg or removed.
Sure, gives them more turf.
So, and right, it removes competition for any number of running numbers. And so when do we think, with those two things in mind, when do we think Rudy Giuliani became friends with Russians? Do we think it was when he went into the private sector and needed international clients? Do we think that Donald Trump introduced him to some? Do we think that he was cultivating sources in order to take down the Cosa Nostra in the United States, and that some of those sources were Russian mob sources? Do we think he made friends with them then? That would be my best guess. It would surprise me if he didn't cultivate any sources. It would surprise me if he didn't find anybody in the underworld that was feeding him information. And who would those people be? It would surprise me if none of them were Russian mobsters. And if I wanted to go real conspiratorial, I'd say, well, is that how some of it started? Did he, instead of having to just go after Leona Helmsley, was he able to build his political star in significant part because of Russian mob ties? That's my Giuliani conspiracy theory. You want to knock it down?
Nope, I find it very interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of fun for Friday.
Intriguing indeed.
All right, let's go to Josh from Madison. I think if I click this button, it'll work and not hang up on either of you. Josh, you're on the air.
Hey, Jeff, how you doing? Great show today.
Thanks, man.
So I want to talk about Kamala Harris, and what she's been saying in a lot of her rallies is that, like, our only job as Democrats is to vote in the election, and then if there's any kind of malfeasance, you know, they've got apparatus in place to take care of that. I don't think that answer is good enough. What do you think?
No, I don't think it's good enough. I think...
I think we've got real
election protection
says, like,
issues.
It doesn't matter who votes. It matters who counts the votes, right?
Yeah.
And we've got people right now saying they're not going to certify. They're not going to count the votes.
Yeah.
And I don't know if anything is being done about that.
Yeah. No, that's... I think that Kamala needs to win by a large margin. I think that there is no moment where we can calm ourselves, where we can say, oh, look, like right now, let's call it a statistical tie. Let's say it's a statistical, she's a little bit ahead. Let's say she is at, where Biden was right before. I think he was about 6 points up, didn't win by 6 points, but I think he was about 5 or 6 points up just before the ballots were counted. That even if she gets to where she's there comfortably, there's no chance to exhale. Because as right now, county clerks are scrubbing people off the ballots. As right now, people are on the Republican side are trying to change voter rules, and there are conservative courts that are trying to. But that's what the Mark Elias, et cetera, are fighting over. That if it is a landslide, we can trust it more. Right. And that's not me saying, don't trust the elections. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is let's not have it be on the margin so there is meaningful doubt. One of the things that's helped so much with Joe Biden's victory was it was enough that every time Trump said, I got 75 million votes. And it's like, yeah, dude, you recognize that 6 million fewer than the other guy. It's harder to cheat.
Right.
It's harder to cheat a 6 million plus margin. But if it's a 600 vote, it's a 547 vote. I'm forgetting the precise number in Florida. With Gore and Bush, that would make you real nervous, wouldn't it?
Yeah, of course, yeah. But we've also proven that the DOJ is more likely to go after Democrats than it is to go after Republicans. And we've had no reason to think that the Supreme Court would be on the country's side on this. Like, Trump has already committed, he's already broken the Hatch Act. He's already broken the Logan Act. I can count, 50 million things he's done. that are illegal that our own justice system is not going to call them on. Yeah. So I don't know what makes Kamala Harris and her team think that if this goes in front of the Supreme Court, that we'll be okay.
Yeah. No, I appreciate the call. Dad, any last word on this one?
Well, that just reminds me of an FEC story that I'd like to talk about when we have a minute.
All right. Well, why don't you go next, Dad? Thank you, Josh, so much.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff.
Federal Election Commission is made up of 6 members, which have to be, can be no more of 3 of the same party. So there are 3 Republicans and 3 Democrats, and they can't do anything without 4 votes. Well, so they actually do nothing. Just one example. We have now learned that a company called Launchpad Strategies, located in North Carolina, has received $15 million from the Trump campaign, can't find a contact, can't find...
they don't name names. We're going to break. We'll be right back.
Hartman Program.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. Your calls. Anything goes Friday, 202-808-9925. Your calls, right after this.
There's one reason why most probiotics fall short. It all has to do with something called survivability. See, to work its magic, a probiotic must arrive alive in your gut. But to do that, it has to survive past your stomach acid, which is strong enough to dissolve metal. That's why for my gut health, I choose Just Thrive Probiotic. It's the first probiotic formulated with 4 proprietary survival strains, clinically guaranteed to reach your gut 100% alive. In fact, third-party testing proves Just Thrive Probiotic has 1,000 times better survivability versus traditional probiotics, making it a game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, and even your mood. And with 0 gluten, dairy, or histamines, it's perfect for your whole family. Try clinically proven Just Thrive Probiotic 100% risk-free today and get 20% off your purchase for a limited time. Visit justthrivehealth.com and use the promo code TOM, T-H-O-M. Just Thrive Health, promo code TOM.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation Area and now Civic Media's new political editor.
Jane, I know you like to talk about our assembly speaker.
Popcorn King, yes, Robin Voss.
So there is a potential outcome with these new maps where Greta Neubauer is the assembly speaker and Robin Voss is the minority leader. How does that sound, Jane?
I feel like my birthday came early.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It is National Monte Cristo Day. It's kind of one of those sandwiches. It's like bell bottoms. You just haven't heard about it in like 40 years. But it got me thinking. What's a sandwich that's totally overrated? I'm going to go first. The Philly cheesesteak.
Really?
Yeah. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm spoiled. Because in Wisconsin, we have the brat packed with tons more taste than a Philly cheesesteak.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Kamala Harris was so classy. What did you think of the debate? My friend and Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
As a woman of color, she ran a clinic on how to school a mediocre white man. And on the other end, you have Trump, who was angry and rattled and showed why he was unfit to be president.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Change starts with you. You can be calling your Democratic or Republican representatives to let them know what you think by calling 202-224-3121. It's the Capitol switchboard. It'll get you right through to them.
I want to go straight to your calls. It is 202-808-9925, and we're moving through them. Let's go to Marty from Wixom. Marty, hopefully you can hear me this time. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. Well, in the spirit of Anything Goes Friday, I have a conspiracy theory for you.
All right,
about
here
the
we go.
Recent headline indictment of New York City Mayor Adams.
All right.
So there's no doubt Adams is a scoundrel, but I'm very concerned there was no need to drop this bombshell 40 days before the crucial 24 election.
It's a weird timing.
Has the potential to harm Democrats in several respects. And people need to recall that the New York City Office of the FBI and the DOJ Southern District of New York have a long history of nefarious activities that affect elections, harming Democrats. Now, who can forget what they did in 2016 to pressure Jim Comey in his late October announcement they are reopening the investigation into Hillary Clinton's emails? Mm-hmm. So what might make this an action with political consequences? Well, first, it's dividing certain Democratic constituencies in New York, where several crucial congressional seats are at play, as well as putting pressure on the Democratic governor of New York to remove him, thus angering his supporters. Mm-hmm. And lastly, it's also providing fodder to Trump's allies attacking the Biden administration. Adams has already made comments to the effect that this had nothing to do with it, had something to do with the administration not liking his harsh treatment of immigrants. Mm-hmm. So it appears quite evident that Adams has engaged in illegal activity, but the actual magnitude of the apparent bribers, what they receive in exchange is downright petty. I mean, all I've seen so far is that he pressured a local fire official to bypass safety regulations, and he greenlit the opening of a counselor building so that the Turkish president could visit it. I mean, those are pretty minor examples of criminality in a big city, especially compared to all the things Trump and his family have done. So is that really worthy of a bombshell indictment 40 days before a hugely important national election? What do you think?
Marty, I appreciate the call and the perspective and also your thoughts about the timing. And I like that it's on Friday. Dad, do you have any instant reaction to Marty?
I have a prediction about conspiracy relating to Eric Adams.
All right.
The prediction is that the Trump folks, sooner or later, probably sooner, are going to claim that the reason the charges were brought and made now were to burnish the claim that the Democratic DOJ is not in any way prejudiced against Republicans because, see, we're going after a big Democrat. I do not believe that is the case, but I predict that that is going to be the line that comes out of the Trump folks.
And what I'll say, and I want to be a little bit careful how much I jump into Conspiracy Friday. I know it's not Conspiracy Friday, it's Anything Goes Friday, and I'm not saying that's what Marty is doing. But that I, it is very, very important that the Southern District of New York and the New York Office of the FBI hand attendance to the Pope. It is very important that they are pure, because they are closest to the biggest, geographically closest to the biggest economic transactions in the world, closest to some of the most active history of underworld activities in the United States. And it's critically important that they are above reproach. And I hope this is an example of them being above reproach rather than anything whiffing of anything different than that. That's all I feel comfortable saying. But Marty, I appreciate you saying what you said.
Yes, and they're also very close to Giuliani, which I think is useful to keep in mind.
No, it's of course that was on my mind. Of course that was on my mind. Marty, thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Paul from, it looks like Woodinville, Washington. You're on the air, Paul.
Hi, Jeff. Let me say something first about the housing and how it would handle taxes, but I want to ask your dad about this taxation idea in general. So, I mean, if you're going to buy 1,000 houses or 10,000 houses, we need to have a tax structure that is essentially an antitrust tax thing. The more houses that you rent, see, what you're doing is if you're buying that many houses, you're essentially making a housing shortage, which is bad for society, and you should pay taxes. So if you're going to buy 1,000 or 10,000 houses, it just isn't worth it profit-wise. It will be taxed so high, you just say, forget it. That's not worth it. That's what we should do. But here's my idea in general. We could get rid of the IRS if we got rid of the individual federal income tax and let all taxes, including those that are going to go to the federal government, be collected at the state level. And so, for instance, the federal budget, let's say it was $5.38 trillion, would be divided by all electoral votes, 538 electoral votes, and then one federal share would equal $10 billion. So each state's obligation to the federal budget would be how many electoral votes, and say Washington has 12, so we would be obligated to the federal government for $120 billion. Another state like Illinois, who has 19, would be $190 billion. And then they also, the state has to collect taxes in the state to run the state. So all tax, and what you'd see there is that there's no corporations running state to state to get a better deal. The states would have to collect taxes from who has the money. None of this, you don't get a good deal because you're going to, and you'd have the regular people in the states voting for their state legislatures, and your representatives in the U.S. Congress would have to work with them about keeping the federal budget lower and trim. And then we would have a lot more accountability. That is taxation with direct representation right there.
All right, Paul, I appreciate the call. I want to take the first one and give Dad the second one. So on the first thing I heard you say about the billionaires buying up houses, one of the reasons that one of the things they found, right, is that we have favorable tax treatment for a lot of real estate, for a lot of real estate rules. And a lot of that was built with this idea of, hey, if a middle-class person is trying to become an upper-middle-class person and they get a house and then sell it, that we want to give them a chance to do that. It's a different thing when you're talking about 10,000. Looks like we're going to break. We might have time. I'll just put words in my dad's mouth. One thing to consider, though, is the federal government has been better at making sure states don't play off against each other.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. We'll be right back right after this with your phone call. 202-808-9925.
Do you have an old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435. That's 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435.
Hey, Tom Hartman here. Why sign up for my program's free daily newsletter over at tom.tv? Well, every morning you receive an email with a complete list of the topics we'll be covering on our weekday program. After the show's over, every afternoon, you'll get what I call Sue's Daily Stack that gives you hot links to every single story and information source that we talked about during the show. Plus, every day while the show is live, you can watch it at tom.tv without cost. That podcast of the show, a complete library of every subject discussed on previous shows, a place to view it live, it's all at tom.tv. So why sign up to get all this at no cost? Because we want you to join us to help change the world for the better. Despair is not an option. Sign up now at tom.tv, that's T-H-O-M.tv, to get all the ammunition you need to win the water cooler wars. Tom.tv, tag, you're it.
If something's wrong with your computer, you reboot it. You restore it back to where it needs to be. Today, our country is headed down the wrong track, overwhelmed with joblessness, declining wages, and corporations deciding our elections, for starters. This is not the Founding Fathers' vision. It's time we rebooted something bigger than our computers. It's time we rebooted the American dream. We must restore the thriving, prosperous days we once had. And my new book, Rebooting the American Dream, explains exactly what we need to do. Bringing our jobs and manufacturing home, rolling back the Reagan tax cuts, ending corporate personhood, and educating our electorate are part of the simple 11-step plan in rebooting the American dream that we can start today to rebuild our country. Check out Rebooting the American Dream in bookstores everywhere and online at tomhartman.com. We can recover the American dream we lost 30 years ago to Reaganomics and the Reagan-Bush-Clinton-Bush era. We're all in this together. Please check out Rebooting the American Dream by yours truly, Tom Hartman, in bookstores everywhere and online at tomhartman.com.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.875%, APR 4.05%. But choosing the right mortgage lender means choosing much more than just a rate. Let me ask you, does calling the company with the best client service in America, with 11 J.D. Power Awards to prove it, matter? Does calling the company that invented Rocket Mortgage, the industry's most innovative, client-focused technology, matter? Does calling the company with 17,000-plus team members who are helping to rebuild the great cities of Detroit and Cleveland matter? Of course it matters. No wonder our clients have made Quicken Loans America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com for the best mortgage experience on earth. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
It is one of the most powerful books you'll ever read, full of the wisdom of ancient cultures and the directed hope of modern thinkers. The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman. Discover how we're made of sunlight and what this has to do with the impact of fossil fuels on civilization. Read about the coming new ice age and what must be done soon. Understand how ancient cultures valued community and cooperation and what we can learn from them. Get in touch with the secret of enough, the meaning of wealth, and the wealth of security. The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight helps us understand and heal our relationship to the world, to each other, and to our natural resources. We have much to learn and even more to remember. Here is your guide, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman, in bookstores everywhere.
Hi friends, Tom Hartman here to remind you that it's your support of our show that keeps us on the air. Without you, there wouldn't be a Tom Hartman program. And now more than ever, it's crucial for you to show your progressive support. And one of the best ways to show your support is to sign up for Tomcast. That's our podcasts at tomhartman.com. Never miss another heated debate on healthcare, global climate change, or our economy. Never miss another one again. Plus, labor news, full Monty alerts, conservative alerts, and my personal favorite segment, Geeky Science, each and every week. But wait, there's more! As an added bonus with your Tomcast podcast subscription, you'll also get my Best of the Rest of the News, a daily 3-minute dose of what's going on in the world today that you can't afford to miss. So what are you waiting for? Get over to tomhartman.com today and sign up for your Tomcast now. Do it for yourself, or you can do it for a friend. Go to tomhartman.com to see just how easy it is. And thank you so much for all of your support.
Share the Tom Hartman program with your friends. Our podcast, The Hartman Report, is absolutely free and available wherever fine podcasts are available. And the entire three-hour podcast is available over at TomHartman.com.
We'll take another call or two with Pop, and then we'll get back to your calls. Dad, any other story you prepared that you were champing at the bit to share?
I just want to acknowledge the passing of Bill Lucey, who was one of the great black civil rights leaders of my generation. He passed at 90 years old. He was the Secretary Treasurer of AFSCME for 38 years, but beyond that, he was one of the really, really good guys. I want to acknowledge his passing and his contribution. And then I also just want to acknowledge the passing of Maggie Smith, who was the dowager on Downton Abbey. She is going to be missed by the Downton Abbey fans.
Yeah, and downtown, uptown, and all the other places that like Downton Abbey. Dad, it is awesome to have you on the air. Thank you for being with us. Do you want to take another call? Or you want one more, two more calls, or zero more calls?
I'm okay for a couple more calls, and then I have a straw.
Oh, all right. We'll do a call, and then we'll do a straw in the wind. That's perfect. Let's go to, I think it's Keno from Lakeland, Florida. You're on the air, Keno.
Hello. Good Friday to us. I got a comment, a suggestion, and then a question. My suggestion is to the Harris campaign that they consider John Huntsman, who's the former governor of Utah, and he got appointed by Obama to be ambassador to China, and then Trump appointed him ambassador to Russia, so his experience is extensive, and he's a moderate Republican, but he would make an excellent Secretary of State, and I'm sure some people from the Harris campaign are listening to this program. But my other question is, in August 22nd, Wall Street Journal, they said that the Harris campaign has started a transition office, but now I don't have a computer. I can't see screens. But some friends of mine have tried to look up a mailing address for the transition committee. I'd like to send some suggestions of some good people that could be in the administration. How in the world can I find out where a mailing address for the Harris transition team headquarters are? Do you have any suggestions?
The Harris transition team probably does not have a mailing address at this point, would be my guess. But I'll turn it over to Pop, who's been involved in campaigns up and down the ballot on both things. Well, let me respond to the Huntsman thing, and then I'll give Dad the second one. I don't have a particular opinion about Huntsman. I do have a contextual thought that lots of considerations in making that appointment. Those considerations include, who will you trust the most in your cabinet to execute the objectives of your foreign policy? Your policy overall, the Secretary of State is concerned with that arm of your policy, right? Who can you trust to be in alignment, as well as who can you trust overall? Another would be, and I think those are probably the most important things, some more ancillary ones include, who do you want to elevate? Who do you want to be in position to do more things in the future? That'll be why there'll be people who are pushing for, well, who might be presidential candidate for 8-12 years that could be considered to be a Secretary of State nominee at this point. Another might be, I remember when there were a couple of really high-profile appointments made by the governor of my state and he appointed a couple of Republicans. And there tended to be two things that they shared. One was allowed for that particular agency to work in a bipartisan way that would have been different than otherwise. Actually, it had three considerations in each of those two cases. Because a little weird, there was a criticism. It's like, well, why is he appointing these Republicans when you've got people who are toiling away, working hard? There's not that many appointments you can make. You should make your appointments to the people who've been working so hard and elevate them, right? So he overcame that criticism when three things were true. One was when it seemed like a bipartisan mind and brand was particularly useful. Second, where it actually meant they could get some support for the role that they couldn't have gotten otherwise. And third, also where that person had demonstrated bipartisanship themselves, as you said, like your claim for Huntsman when they're sort of moderate. And third, when he appointed them from an elected office and then he could appoint a Democrat into. So he did it when he would take somebody from the legislature and appoint him to something, and then there had to be a replacement for that legislative seat. Now, it turned out he didn't actually get to make the appointment for it, but it did open up that legislative seat in a place that was a swing district and gave a Democrat a chance to win that race, which helped him with any political backlash over not appointing a Democrat. Because he says, oh, no, no, I'm not tilting things towards Republicans. I'm going to also give their another chance for a Democrat to elevate themselves. So I liked all three of those. That'd be my quick response. Dad, on Keno's second point, what are your thoughts? Any thoughts about how to reach a transition team?
I would doubt this.
You got quiet again. Put the receiver close to your mouth.
Well, I've got it right against my. I don't know what happens. Can you hear me now?
Yep.
That's really weird. Anyway, I doubt that they have a public phone number yet, because they're just trying to get the chairs arranged. But I want to ask him: are you underwater in Lakeland? How did Helene affect you?
Okay, thank goodness I'm in the middle of the state, which is fairly high ground. But out on the coastal areas, the West Coast, where people built in areas they never should have been allowed. 50 years ago, I was an environmental advisor to the Florida Department of Transportation, and I suggested not building roads in certain ranch lands, and I was overruled because I said it's in a 50-year floodplain, and now 50 years later, it's flooded, and hundreds and thousands of homes have had chest-deep water in their houses, and I look back 50 years ago when I said don't build those roads. So all over the United States, there's a new book called The Great Displacement. It's about all these places in the United States that are going to be flooded with climate change because they've been allowed to build homes in areas that should not have been allowed. But thank you for the question. No, we in Lakeland are right in the center of the state, which is fairly high ground. But, boy, there's hundreds and thousands of homes that have been flooded because they were built in areas where they never should have been allowed to be built. So, but now, go back to you think a mailing address, surely the transition committee would be open to people making suggestions about good persons that might be
you could send it to a campaign office, but transition committees tend to be set up. I mean, I've been a part of one or two, not presidential, but at the state level, and it was not impaneled until after the election. Like the transition team wasn't named. It wouldn't have had an address or even a phone number because it wasn't even named until after the election. And there's a couple practical reasons for that. One is because everybody's focused on winning the election, including a lot of the people that you then want to be on your transition team. Second is that everybody knows that lots of your surrogates, for instance, to your other point, lots of your surrogates would like to be, for instance, Secretary of State. There's more than one person in the United States right now who has been on their mind over the last 3 months that they would like to be appointed Secretary of State. And one of those people might be Pete Buttigieg. And there are people right now actively campaigning. One of those people might be the current governor of California. I'm not making any news. I'm just speculating. But I know there's more than one person. And the moment that you say, oh, I'm going to pick that person if I win, that makes one friend and a bunch of people a little bit less interested. So those are the two practical reasons that transition committees tend to be, at least the ones I've been part of, tend to be after elections. There might be an active transition team doing some preliminary activities right now. There is, of course, a presidency. You could, of course, just mail the White House because we have, if Harris wins, it will be another Democrat in the White House, and that message could get passed along. So that's what I'd say about that, Keno, but you made three good points.
Probably would get forwarded. My best quote on the appointment process, when you appoint somebody to a high office, you get a bunch of enemies and one ingrate. and the other reason that you would not get a Republican Secretary of State is that the Secretary of State is fourth in line for the presidency. I don't think they would want anybody that close who was of the other party.
Great answers, Pop. Appreciate it. Dad, thank you, Keno. Appreciate you calling.
Okay. Thank you.
Dad, why don't we do a straw in the wind before we have to get to break?
Straw in the wind.
Like
in 5 hours yesterday. Oh, thank you for saying
it. I just did it. It was just under. Didn't want anybody to notice.
In the space of 5 hours yesterday, came into my email 13 money requests from Trump, 5 money requests from Laura Trump, and 6 money requests from a senior advisor to the Trump campaign, all asking for money. Wow. That seemed like a straw in the wind.
Did you reply to all of them that, heck yes, like I'm in, and $1 a piece?
I have to confess, they all go into my junk mail. And when I review my junk mail, I click on the from button so everybody is put together so I can see. It makes it really quick to go through my junk mail. And I just found it almost astonishing that I would have 24 money requests in the space of 5 hours.
How often do you find, did you find anything in your junk mail that wasn't junk mail?
Yes. What happens from time to time, there'll be somebody's message that clearly shouldn't have gone there that I would feel very bad if I had missed.
It's very diligent.
So that's the reason. It doesn't take long to review it, and when I get that one, I know it's worth it.
All right. All right, Pop. I love you. Thanks for joining us.
I love you, too. Have a good one.
Be well. We'll be right back with your calls. It's Anything Goes Friday, 202-808-9925. This is your show. This is Tom's show. I'm Jeff.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
We'll be right back. 202-808-9925. We'll try to get a speed round eventually.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 877-247-1581. 877-247-1581. 877-247-1581.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matinee on Air.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. At least 44 people have died as a result of Helene, and after it made landfall late Thursday as a Category 4 storm in Florida, it's the storm surge and rain inland that have caused the most damage. In East Tennessee, patients and staffers had to be airlifted off the roof of a hospital. Alderman Mike Baker said everyone's now safe.
A lot of them were staff of the hospital, and then, of course, we had some first responders that were trying to get everybody out, but then they ended up getting stranded.
Israel struck a building in Lebanon, saying it was targeting Hezbollah's central command. ABC has learned the target was Hezbollah's leader, Hassan Nasrallah. There's no word yet on his status. Vice President Kamala Harris traveled to the southern border in Arizona and put the blame on former President Trump for the border situation. And New York City Mayor Eric Adams pleaded not guilty to federal bribery and corruption charges. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Homebuyers in Wisconsin are eager for mortgage rates to come down. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
Recently, the U.S. Federal Reserve lowered interest rates, but that's not the same as mortgage rates. Kristen Ambos of Point Mortgage in Appleton.
It's a direct indicator on the rates that the banks are borrowing at. So that's coming down. But remember, the bank is going to add 2 to 3% so that they can make money.
Ambos said there will be competitive pressure for mortgage rates to come down. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Wisconsin is remembering one of the greatest high school basketball players the state ever produced. Joe Wolf died on Thursday. He led Kohler High School to 3 state titles, then was teammates with Michael Jordan at North Carolina. He played 12 years in the NBA, including on the Milwaukee Bucks. Wolf was 59. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Lately, it seems like mega millionaires with mansions cannot catch a break. First, Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez had a buyer lined up for their $68 million Beverly Hills home, only to find out the offer had been pulled. Now, it's been announced that David and Victoria Beckham will have to endure construction noises due to a year-long renovation of the mansion next door. One option for the couple could be to spend time at their Miami penthouse, but Florida can be so muggy. Stay tuned for the latest on this breaking story, and hang in there, Mr. and Mrs. Spice Girl. Joel and Ellie will be back soon. According to HBO, Variety reports that the network released a preview for season 2 of The Last of Us, starring Pedro Pascal and Bella Ramsey. The acting duo plays survivors in the post-apocalyptic zombie derivation of the video game. Season 2 will start after a 5-year time jump in the story. Season 1 of the show took home 8 Emmys and had 24 nominations. The trailer for season 2 can be viewed on YouTube or wherever you get your movie trailers. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, not as cool as it's been, a low near 50. Mostly sunny and mild for tomorrow, highs right around 80. And upper 70s for highs with sunshine on Sunday and Monday. Much cooler, though, through mid-next week, only near 60 Tuesday. Right now, it's 50.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Donald Trump, on his Truthy Social platform, he wrote this, quote, "It was 3-on-1, but they were mentally challenged people against one person of extraordinary genius."
Real man of genius.
Here's to you, Orange Man. Losing by a whisker, then saying you won.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
They're eating the pets.
J.D. Vance has said on the air that he admitted it was all a lie. Packed right, load. Words have consequences.
Of course they do. When we're talking about the incendiary remarks about immigrants, we're not talking about the fact that it was Donald Trump and Donald Trump alone who killed the bipartisan border security and immigration reform bill.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning on Up North News Radio, State Senator Kelderoy's on how Republicans just keep digging a bigger hole when it comes to women's reproductive health care rights.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Better than Joe Biden was. She's also polling better than Donald Trump, ever so slightly. But it's close, 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 close. And the only proper action is action. That's what I have to say about that. Larry, thank you for your call. Let's go to Howard from Shoreline, Washington. Howard, you are on the air.
Jefferson, I appreciate you very much.
Thanks, man.
Hey, listen, I've got two things to say. One is I really want to take a moment and acknowledge you for demonstrating the connection with your father. Hmm. I wasn't really close with my dad. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you sit there and have this loving relationship on the air with him, and he's an older man, and he's an elder with wisdom, and you share that and you appreciate that, I think that's a real missing in today's world, or at least I don't hear about it. So I'm really grateful that you do that as a modeling for what's possible. Wow. In a relationship between men and their fathers. I think that's really valuable.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. It means a lot.
Yeah, the second thing I want to say is, along those lines, I think the Democrats missed something at the convention. And the thing that they missed was, in my view, the acknowledgement of Jimmy Carter. His 100th birthday is October 1st. And that man has really been a contribution to this country, at least the last part of the century, the work that he's done privately and publicly, you know, as a president and just – for the Carter Foundation, and he didn't get acknowledged. And so I want to bring his name up to the audience. His birthday's coming up, and I actually want him to be able to be alive to vote. I just wanted to mention that And again, I just really appreciate the forum that's available here. And like you said, we got to get into action. It's all about that action, boss.
No, I appreciate both things you said. And the first thing, I take real to heart, and it moved me a little bit, and I appreciate it. To your other point, heck yes, Jimmy Carter. like the model former president, right? The model former president. Didn't try to just get rich peddling influence. Didn't stop caring about stuff. Modeled moral behavior. Built houses with his hands. Showed other people that they too could do that. I mean, if I think I said it, I know that we brought it up. I think it was the very last time I was here. That clear evidence that the Christian Coalition never really was about, I mean that not as the Christian part, I mean it as the political entity, was never really serious about the Christian part, is that they embraced Donald Trump and rejected Jimmy Carter. I mean, just think about that for a moment. Think about how these two people have lived their lives without power and with power, with elected power and before and after it. Like, just how have they conducted themselves? Who has manifested the lessons of Jesus Christ? Who has manifested the lessons that we want any religion to be about? What do we want to be a moral standard? Is that Jimmy Carter's a better person than I am by legions, a better person than most people I know. And so, heck yes, lifting him up. And I'll tell you what, I think Jimmy Carter is doing every single thing he possibly can to be alive for this election. I genuinely think that. I mean, this is a guy who got elected from the South, right? Like, from the South, who lived his whole life. And think about what that meant, what the South was like 99 years ago. They got a long way to go, but think about what the South was like 99, 98, 90, 85 years ago when he was a kid. Think about that. Think about the arc of history that he has tried to help bend towards something approaching justice. That I don't think he wants to miss this moment. I don't think he wants to miss this moment. I think, and not just to beat Donald Trump, I think he doesn't want to miss this moment to have a chance to elect Kamala Harris, to have a chance to elect the first woman president in the history of this country, the first black woman in the history of this country elected the president, the first Asian woman, East Asian woman, South Asian woman, excuse me, elected president in the history of this country. That I don't think he wants to miss it. And I wouldn't be surprised if he passed away to our great sadness very shortly after the election. And I think he's doing everything he possibly can to live to 100 years old so that he can vote for Kamala Harris. That's what I think. Last word for you.
Oh, I just hope that somebody from the Harris campaign is listening to this conversation and reaches out to Jimmy Carter on his birthday so that there's some connection. I know that, you know, it's all focused on the election. I get that. But I just think it would be really valuable to acknowledge the man and his contribution. And for Kamala Harris's campaign to do it, I think it'd be a great public coup.
I appreciate the call. It's a great thought.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Let's go to Dan from Seaside, California. Dan, you win the Most Patient Listener Award.
Oh, yeah. Great, great call since all the time I've been waiting. Do you hear me okay, by the way?
Yeah, I hear you good. You're doing good.
Good.
Oh, wait, hold on a second. Forgive me. I took you right before the break. Stay here. Stay in anesthesia. Stay here. I'll take you right back when we come out of the break.
Okay. All right.
Stand on.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-640-6298. 800-640-6298. 800-640-6298. That's 800-640-6298.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Dom Selvia.
Next time, James Vanderloo, the head of OEC Group, an expert in transatlantic trade and tariffs, will get all wonky with me. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. The Maggie Dawn Show.
The Second Amendment is designed to keep the power in this country with the people.
It's not the Second Amendment that preserves power in the people. It's elections, you moron. A dictator like Donald Trump that is a king and immune from prosecution, that is what erodes democracy. Kamala Harris and Uncle Tim Walz, they own guns. Nobody's coming for them. Chillax, Glenn. Get yourself some facts.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.